Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here is our latest sermon from our Ash Wednesday service.
If you want to stay in your comfort zone for crying out loud, don't follow Jesus. Seriously. You know, there is no comfort zone on a cross. And Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. And so I think that when we have times like this where we get together and we have all these scriptures and all these songs and all these things we talk about, and it's a little bit out of our comfort zone, and there's symbols, you know. And some of you, like, you see the table, you can see we're going to have communion tonight. And for some of you, that's normal to you because you're used to it. But we also have ashes, and that's just weird because a lot of you aren't used to it. But really, a lot of the things that the church has done through history in worship and in practice has been done as a way of sort of teaching and reminding and sort of maybe even shocking you out of your comfort zone a little bit. I remember last year at our Ash Wednesday service, I went home and I had not given up Comedy Central for Lent, which I would recommend. That is a pretty good thing to give up for Lent, actually. But I went home and got relaxed and sat down, and I turned on the TV and turned on the Colbert Report. And if you've ever seen the beginning of that show, he turns around and he gives all the headlines, and it's all dramatic. And that night, to my shock, he turned around and there was this big ash cross on his forehead. And he said, "What's this?" He says, "It shows I'm holier than you." He says, "I'm not just Catholic, I am the Catholic." Well, you know what? Ash Wednesday is not about showing who's holy or who's Catholic or who's religious. Ash Wednesday is something far more basic than that. There's a story, you know, Ash, we could say Dust Wednesday if you wanted to, okay? Because that's really what it's about. And the oldest story in the Bible that involves dust is way at the beginning. And in that story, it says that God took the dust of the earth and he fashioned a man and he breathed into that dust the breath of life, and man became a living spirit. On this service, our main objective tonight is to remember that apart from God's breath and God's creative power in our lives, we're just a bag of dust. And so the old liturgy that says, "Remember, O man, you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Something that is said still today at many funerals. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. We commend, I've said this many times, stood at a graveside and said, "We commend this body to its kindred dust. But the spirit we commend to God, believing that the judge of all the earth will do right." There's a lot of things we could learn by remembering we are dust. There's a wisdom in dust. The psalmist, who in this case happens to be Moses, Psalm 90, says this: "Teach me to number my days that I might gain a heart of wisdom. Let's read that phrase together. Let's read that. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Tonight, we're starting a new teaching series called More of You, Less of Me. And that's what we're going to be thinking about this whole time. We're thinking about how can we get more of the Spirit of God and a little bit less of the dirt of the world. That's what we're going to be thinking about for the next 6-7 weeks. And we're going to be thinking about how can we leave the dust behind and how can we embrace the resurrection power of Christ. And Moses in Psalm 90 gives us a little idea of a good way that we can start in this process of growing by subtraction. Less of us, more of Him. And one of the first principles of having less of us and more of Him is that we have the wisdom to see that on our own, we're dust. We grow right away when we subtract ourselves from the equation. We're no longer the masters of our destiny. We're no longer the ones who rule our lives and choose what we will do. We have the wisdom that Moses talks about where we say, oh God, teach us to number our days. Remind me, oh God, teach me to remember I am mortal. You know what mortal means? It starts with the same four letters as mortuary. That's a hint. Mortal. Dying. Teach me, O God, to remember that I have only so many days, that I am dust, and to dust I will return. Teach me, O God, to number my days. Why? Because there is wisdom in realizing that I only have so much time and that apart from Christ, there is no eternal life. So there's a wisdom in taking some time in worship. You know, on Sunday I talked about the wisdom of being able to shout hallelujah and be loud and noisy. But like in the book of Lamentations, Jeremiah says there's more wisdom in a house of mourning. Why would that be? Because when you realize that there's only so much time and it's a treasure, you act as a better steward. You have a greater discipline and a greater regard for this gift God has given us. So pausing tonight to remember that we are mortal is a good thing. It can help us. It can point us to wisdom. Secondly, there is joy in the dust. This might seem like a strange passage to pull out, but I like it a lot because John the Baptist in this passage says, I need less of me. In fact, less of me is the game plan. It says, if you read this chapter, you'll see that Jesus has begun his ministry and Jesus knows what he's doing, and John the Baptist knows what he's doing, but their disciples are all confused. And it's hard to imagine this because it sounds like junior high school. But it says that Jesus' disciples were baptizing people. Right there in plain sight of John the Baptist and his disciples. And John's disciples got all worked up and said, how come everybody's going over there to get baptized? You know, you're John the Baptist. I mean, baptism's our game, Jesus. Repentance is our game. And John says, a person can receive only what is given to them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Messiah, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. What's John saying? He's saying, this is the plan all the time. You think I'm going to be frustrated that Jesus is doing well? What do you think I was saying when I said, prepare the way of the Lord? You think I was just saying a big announcement and then say, ignore him, follow me? And I think it's a good passage for us to think about at this point, as we begin Lent, as we begin this new teaching series, to remember that that is not really what the life of following Jesus is about. When you embrace Christ and you stand there with John and you say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When you say, this is Jesus, he is the Messiah, let's follow him. That means that if everything is going according to plan, there's going to be more of him and less of you and me. John says, I have the same kind of joy. It's as if I came and announced the bridegroom was coming, that the wedding was about to begin, that rejoice, here comes the bridegroom. And then when the bridegroom came, you thought I'd be disappointed because everybody, I love the attention of making the announcement. John says, are you kidding? I'm excited when the groom gets here. I'm excited that Jesus is Lord. I'm excited to be following him. He says, that joy, the same joy of a best man, that joy is mine, and it is now complete. Let's say that verse 30 together. Here we go. He must become greater, I must become less. That's just as true for you and me as it is of John. Jesus must become greater. He must increase. We must decrease. So there's wisdom, there's joy, there's transformation. One of the verses Mike read tonight was Galatians 2:20. This is a verse that by Easter you will all be able to quote. Some of you can already. But Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. There's transformation. In the same way that God breathed dust into that, or breathed the spirit of life into that dust that we come to know as Adam, in the same way, Christ makes it possible for the Spirit of God to breathe life into us. Christ is the new Adam. He is the second Adam. He is the one who makes it possible for us to be more than dust. He transforms us from being just folks to being part of the body of Christ. And look how Paul describes it. How does he describe this transformation? He said, I have been crucified. There goes that comfort zone again. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. You sound like you're living, Paul. You're writing, you're teaching. What do you mean you no longer live? Paul says, I live, but I'm living the life that is growing by subtraction. My life is fuller and richer and more beautiful. Why? Because I am dying to the leadership. I am no longer central in my life. Christ is. I have died to self. I don't want to be the one calling the shots anymore. I want it to be Christ who lives in me. The life I'm now living, I want it to be a life lived by faith in the one who gave himself for me. So there's wisdom, there's joy, there's transformation. And usually if you see dust or hear about ashes or dust, probably beauty and splendor are not two words that come to mind. I don't think I've ever heard anybody go, wow, beautiful ashes. Wow, that's some splendiferous dust you got there. But the prophet Isaiah said this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners. Does this sound familiar to you? Can you think of anybody who quoted those words in the New Testament, like when he stood up to announce his ministry? Jesus. He says, "The sovereign Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news." What kind of good news? How about life for the brokenhearted, healing, redemption, freedom, light? Verse 3b, he says, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for a display of his splendor. And you might say, well, David's saying that he's taking away the ashes. He's taking away the ashes and he's replacing it with something. Right? But Jesus said this, unless a seed dies. You know, when you plant a seed, something's dying, and that's what's bringing a new life. And it's out of the ashes. It's out of the brokenness that the splendor and the beauty of God shines through. Paul said, the Apostle Paul said, I delight in my weaknesses. Why? Why in the world would you delight in your weaknesses? Why would you delight in the ashes and the dust and the brokenness and the weakness of life? Why? It's because through that, new life is breaking through. The life of Christ, the power and redemption and resurrection of Christ, breaking through, helping us to live new, joyful lives. And even out of our brokenness, the splendor and beauty of the redemptive power of Christ shines through. You know, so much of our Christian talk and Christian thinking has been to talk about salvation like it's an event, you know, or a status. What's your status? Saved. Well, I'm glad that's taken care of. Let's move on to other things now. No. What's your status? Saved, being saved, going to be saved. Your salvation is a life. Salvation is a life we live. And through how do we live that life? On our own? No. Through who? Through Christ. Through the Spirit of Christ. We are dust. We are broken. We are people who need to number our days because we're just a vapor and then we're gone. But even as we remember all those things about us without Christ, we remember that with him, we're so much more. There's beauty. There's splendor. I came across a poem called Marked by Ashes by Walter Brueggemann. Walter Brueggemann is a Bible scholar, and the poem is much longer than this, but I just wanted to put the end of this poem here for us to think about tonight. And the thing I love about this poem is the way Brueggemann takes the word Easter and turns it into a verb, which, of course, any of us who have been living the Christian life in a way that's helping us grow and mature and change, we've discovered that Easter actually is a verb. Because the life we receive in Christ isn't just like a label or a standing or a belief. It is a transformative thing that we are experiencing. And so as we begin Lent, which means spring, what happens in the spring? Well, I can tell you what I'm hoping is going to happen. I mean, I like that it's not so bitter cold out there, but I'm still waiting to see little buds, are you? I'm still waiting to see the buds break out. I'm still waiting to see the crocus start poking up. I'm waiting for the tulips to start coming. Do you know why? Because in spring, even though everything looks dead, we know there's life, and that life is going to break forth. And so that's what we do as we begin the season of Lent, which just comes from a Latin word that means springtime. We're sort of using the springtime as a picture to help us remember that in the same way life breaks out, and summer and growth and green and beauty and blossom comes out of everything that looks dead and brown and cold and miserable. In the same way, we remember we are ashes, but we remember that He is life. Now, just because I want to be clear on the practice, because when you do something weird and something unusual and it's involved with church, people get funny ideas, and I don't want you to have funny ideas. There's nothing magic about this bread and this juice that we're going to have tonight. We here at Valley, we actually consider this to be a witness. We consider this to be a witness of what Christ has done, and that all of us come to the table remembering that apart from Jesus and what He's done, there's nothing here. Okay? And the ashes, it's just the ash. Nothing magic. You know, we didn't get a religious council to come and pray over it. It's just dirt. It's an object lesson. I mean, I guess I could have just gone to the bookstore and gotten some little crosses on little stickers and had you all come up and put a sticker on your shirt. But for hundreds of years, before stickers were ever invented, you know, the church through the ages hasn't always had access to stickers, but they've always had plenty of dirt. And so in the oldest, simplest, poorest, most persecuted days of church history, the Christians could get together, and when spring was breaking out, and they would remember, this is just like with us. Life's going to start breaking out in us too. The resurrection of Jesus is going to break out in our lives too. The same way that God breathed the breath of life into Adam, that's going to happen in our lives too. And so they would, at the beginning of their walk, when they would see, oh, there's going to be 40 days until Easter, until we celebrate the resurrection, they would set out those 40 days and they would say, let's use these 40 days for a special purpose. They'd say, you remember how Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness? Let's use the 40 days leading up to Easter. And by the way, you might count on your calendar and you might say, there's more than 40. Not if you take out the Sundays. The Sundays don't count for this season of Lent. You know why? Every Sunday's Resurrection Day. So we interrupt this repentance for a season of woohoo! Every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. But we take the 40 days around it and we say, let's use these 40 days as an object lesson. When you go for walks in the park, when you drive along the freeway, in the coming days, you're going to start seeing the blossoms break out. You're going to start seeing little buds on the trees. You're going to see signs of life. There's probably going to be some robins building nests around your porch light, then you're going to have to shush them away and things like that, unless you like them there. One year I had a robin that thought my ladder leaning against the garage was the perfect place. And every time in these coming weeks you see another sign of life, you should go, that's like me. It's like me. In some ways, I look cold and dead, but there's resurrection at work in me. Life is going to be springing forth soon. Brueggemann says this, we are able to ponder our ashness, I think he made that word up, with some confidence, only because our every Wednesday of ashes anticipates your Easter victory over that dry, flaky taste of death. In this poem, early in the poem, he says, we have the taste of ash in our mouth. This dryness, this death. He says, we can face the reality of our mortality. We can face that we're nothing without God. We can face that only because as we say, yes, I am ash. Yes, I am passing away. But he is life. And he has loved me. And he has given himself for me. So Brueggemann goes on, he says, on this Wednesday, we submit our ashen way to you. You, O Easter parade of newness. How's that for a name for God? You, Easter parade of newness. Before the sun sets, take our Wednesday and Easter us. Easter us to joy and energy and courage and freedom. Easter us that we may be fearless for your truth. Come here and Easter our Wednesday with mercy and justice and peace and generosity. We pray as we wait for the risen one who comes soon.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.
Here is an acoustic version of our theme song from our new series, More of You, Less of Me.
More of you, less of me. The more I live, the more I see. The thing I want, the thing I need is more of you. More of you, less of me. The more I live, the more I see. The thing I want, the thing I need is more of you. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. More of you, less of me. The more I live, the more I see. The thing I want, the thing I need is more of you. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. More of you, less of me. The more I live, the more I see. The thing I want and the thing I need is more of you. moon.